Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Whence Came You, a Freemasonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. I'm your host, Brother Robert Johnson. Off the top, I have to say thanks for the downloads, thanks for following on Facebook and on Twitter. I want to let all of you know one of the brothers I consider a real influence and a success was featured on two interviews recently. So you have to check out past Master Brother Todd E. Creason on The Gnostic Warrior, and more recently on Robert Patrick Lewis's podcast, Far From Centered, and he's talking about authoring. Speaking of that, I will hopefully be having Brother Todd on our show as an interview very soon. He has put his latest book that he's writing on simmer for the summer to enjoy the warm weather, complete some side projects, and have fun with his family. If you haven't checked it out, there is another show that I do a famous Freemason segment for, which is called the Far From Centered podcast, which I mentioned earlier, which is, of course, like I said, hosted by Brother Robert Patrick Lewis, and he's really taking his show to the next level. So check that out and give it a follow on Twitter and check him out on Facebook as well. Speaking of other podcasts, I am eagerly awaiting Brother Juan Sepulveda's new episode, which should be out soon. I'm on there doing a conspiracy theory, but that's not why I like this show. I love his show because it's an introspection show. It really makes me look at myself and compare the Masonic values that he's talking about, and I have to look at myself and say, hey, am I exemplifying those things? So check out his show as well. I'd like to mention the other blog I manage, which was started by Brother Todd E. Creason, which is the original Midnight Freemason. We publish content 3 times a week, always something to do with Freemasonry or an appendant body thereof, sometimes historical, sometimes funny, sometimes somber, but always informative and captivating. We have some of the best talent there is. Starting this week, I want to just read a bio of one of our regular contributors each week. And this week, I want to tell you all about Worshipful Brother Gregory J. Knott, who is the past master of St. Joseph Lodge number 970 in St. Joseph, Illinois, and a plural member of Ogden Lodge number 754, also in Illinois, and Homer Lodge number 199 in Illinois. He's a member of both the Scottish Rite and the York Rite, and is the charter secretary of the Illini High 12 Club in Champaign, Urbana. He's also a member of the Answer Shrine in Illinois and the Eastern Illinois Council, number 356 AMD, which is the Allied Masonic Degrees. Greg is very involved in Boy Scouts and Eagle Scout himself. He serves the Grand Lodge of Illinois, AFNAM, as their representative to the National Association of Masonic Scouters. So Greg is always traveling and visiting amazing places. His posts are usually great in that they allow you to virtually have a tour, thanks to his photographs and explanations. Recently, he visited the Order of the Eastern Star headquarters, which is an amazing mansion and just beautiful. Again, to check that out, just head over to www.midnightfreemason.blogspot.com, or you can follow them on Facebook and just look for the Midnight Freemasons. This week, I have a paper, which is a short talk bulletin, and I'll have it as the paper for the download within the app. So sit back and listen to The Guns of 75. The Guns of 75, a short talk bulletin from Volume 3, July 1925, Number 7, by Unknown. 150 years ago, from 1925, the Battle of Lexington was fought on April 19, 1775, the Battle of Bunker Hill on June 17th. What emotions, what echoes, what old historic memories stir in our hearts as we remember those days and dates. What Lafayette held in his hand, the musket which fired the first shot of the American Revolution, he exclaimed, "This is the alarm gun of liberty." To England, the war was an episode. Too, is it is an epic. Time does not tarnish those events, nor distance dim the glory of the days that tried the stuff of which men are made. All that America means, all that it has become, had its beginning at Lexington and Bunker Hill. It meant a new nation built upon a new basis, with a new relation of church and state, a new opportunity for mankind, the opening of a new era. An oft-told story taught us from our earliest years, it throbs like a drumbeat in your blood, like the echo of the footsteps of God in time. Emerson said truly that the farmers who stood at Concord Bridge fired a shot heard round the world, its flash divided the records of man into before and after, and its echoes will never die, while men love, liberty, and value the rights of man. It was the first act in a drama of history, but somehow it reads like a record of our family Bible. For history, in its great meaning, is more than a series of events. It is the unfolding of ideas, the fulfillment of the divine purpose in time. Events do not stand alone. They are linked together by a thread of cause and effect, a law of seed time and harvest. What went before explains what followed after. If we are to know the meaning of the events we remember today, we must go back of the immediate inciting causes to the facts and forces that lay behind. History is philosophy teaching by example. It is theology acted out. Our sturdy forefathers who emigrated first to Holland and then to America bore with them the seeds of liberty. Those seeds nourished by the wise tolerance of the Dutch, they planted in the fresh soil of the New World. They sought the New World in search of liberty, of conscience, and freedom of worship. Let us never forget that our independence was first religious, then political. Our democracy had a spiritual foundation, our republic a sacred origin. Having breathed the air of religious liberty, by a sure logic our fathers finally demanded the same liberty in political affairs. They would gladly help pay debts incurred partly in their behalf, but they refused to be taxed to that end, unless they were allowed to have a voice in shaping the policy of state. It was old, high British ideal, forgotten by the motherland and defended by its sons. The reigning king did not understand the colonists. They were a long distance from the homeland and no longer under the mystic spell which waits upon royalty, but they were loyal and law-abiding. As Franklin said, they were ruled at the sole expense of pen and ink, but they could not be coerced. One irritating act after another provoked anger and, at last, alienation until men in America began to hate the land which formerly they had loved. The Boston Tea Party, planned in Old St. Andrew's Lodge and carried out by Masons, Mast, and Mohawk Indian, was the last straw. The tension tightened until finally the tie of allegiance was broken and resentment flamed into revolt. Early in 1775, news arrived that Parliament, in spite of the pleadings of Pitt, Burke, and Fox, had rejected the petition of the First Continental Congress declaring that rebellion existed in America. It did, though. It might have been averted, like nearly every war in history. On the night of April 18th, troops were sent by General Gage to seize the powder stored by the Sons of Liberty at Concord and to arrest as traitors John Hancock and Samuel Adams, who had taken refuge with Parson James Clark at Lexington. They set out secretly, as they thought, not knowing how alert and watchful the Patriots were and how well organized. Lanterns hung out the tower of the Old North Church, flashed the signal far and wide, and Paul Revere and William Dawes rode through the night ahead of the troops led by Major Pitcairn, rousing the people and giving the alarm. When the British column reached Lexington, they found a little company of minutemen drawn up on the village green under the command of Captain Parker, who had given the order, "Stand your ground, don't fire unless fired upon. But if they mean to have war, let it start here." Major Pitcairn ordered the rebels to disperse, and they refused to move. A shot was fired apparently without his order, then a volley. A number of minutemen were killed and wounded. With a shout, the British marched off to Concord, took what military stores they found, rifled some houses, and encountered a company of farmers. Again, the colonists under Major Buttrick and Captain Davis were ordered not to fire unless fired upon. In double fire, they crossed the bridge and waited. The young fifers played the white cockade. When within a few yards of the bridge, a shot fired by the British wounded one of their number. A volley followed and two were killed. Then the minutemen were ordered to fire, the first fired gun of the American Revolution, and the British began to retreat. As Emerson said in his Concord hymn, April 19, 1836, "By the rude bridge that arched the flood, their flag to April breeze unfurled, here once the embattled farmers stood, and fired the shot heard round the world." By this time, the whole countryside was aflame with anger and excitement. Men and boys come running singly in bands and form behind hedges, trees, and stone walls along the road to Boston, pouring shot into the retreating British ranks, following them all the way until they were safe under the protection of their guns. Thus, without previous design, the war began, destined to change the history of the world. Small events born under human blunder became great by virtue, and the idea influences back of them and initiate vast moments. The fight on the village green and by the bridge was hardly more than a skirmish, but it used by a power other than human to institute the greatest republic on earth. The Battle of Lexington shut the British up in Boston, then almost an island linked with the mainland by a narrow strip of sand beach. To the north lay the peninsula of Charleston, on which were two hills, Breed's Hill and Bunker Hill, To the south, Dorchester Heights overlooked the city. The American army grew rapidly as men flocked in from all directions, ill-prepared in all, save courage. On June 17th, they began busily to fortify Bunker Hill, and the British attacked. Twice, the Redcoats stormed up the hill, only to be turned back. When they made their third desperate charge, they won, because the Americans had used all the powder they had and were forced to flee, leaving Warren, Grand Master of Masons, dead on the hill. Lack of preparedness lost the battle, a lesson never to be forgotten by those who are wise. Yes, it is an old story, my brethren, as far to us as the alphabet. But it is a story that makes our hearts beat fast, in which our gentle craft had the honorable part, of which we have a right to be proud. It is the simple truth to say that our ancient fraternity, faithful, wise, and heroic, presided in the birth hour of our republic as it guards its sanctity today. There are those who would belittle its influence, but the facts stand. It was not an accident that Washington and that most of his generals were members of the craft. The story of the War of the Revolution might have been very different had not its leaders been bound together by a tie which Masonry knows how to weave between men, making them brothers. What followed we know, as we know, our family history. The genius of Washington, the dark days of Valley Forge, the crossing of the Delaware, the coming of Lafayette, the final scene at Yorktown, the Constitution, the far-flung Republic, it is a story and a tradition bequeathed to us in the mystic continuance of inheritance. America was born, the last great hope of humanity, created by the will of God and heroism of man, dedicated to the service of peace on earth and goodwill to all men. As in its origin, so in its history, our republic is a fraternal symposium in which many races are being built together into one community, an enterprise the full meaning of which we do not yet realize. If we celebrate our beginnings at Lexington, Bunker Hill, and Yorktown, we do so with no ill will toward the motherland against which our fathers fought, wresting their liberties from the obstinate king and a truckling parliament. Since then, in the greatest of all wars, Americans have fought side by side with Britons in an hour of common peril and high resolve for the same principle of which our fathers fired the shot heard round the world. The old feud long since gave place to friendship, to deepen and maintain that which is the first duty of thoughtful men on both sides of the sea. Yet we do affirm the uniqueness of America, and we are bound by ties of blood, history, and fraternity to keep our republic true to its high tradition of liberty under law. Today, remembering the brave days of old when men poured out their blood that their sons might be free, we give thanks to God for our country, reverently invoking His blessing upon its many races united in brotherhood, upon its unconstrained religious life, upon its passion for education, its cities shining in the sunlight, its countless homes, its Pacific spirit, and its promise of a future greater than its past. Next, I want to mention some of the ways this show is funded. First is the apps. There is a million and one ways to listen to this show: iTunes, Roku, RSS, even the new podcast app on the iPhone, the Rim Player on the BlackBerry, embedded players all over the place. Well, one way which actually supports the show is on the iPhone and Android. Basically, there's an app which lets you stream the show rather than syncing. You're thinking, I get this already, and it's free, which is true. But what you don't get are the articles that we read each week in PDF, in a Masonic wallpaper formatted for your mobile device, and other bonus features, which are only available to subscribers of the app. So for your one-time charge of $2, the show gets a 70-cent donation. The rest of the money gets split between the people who make the app, Apple, and Android. Another way you can support the show is through Stitcher Smart Radio. Basically, you sign up for an account, which is free already, and you use the promo code WhenceCameU with no spaces, and they send us a dollar. You get streaming access and personalized podcast experience. Also, I think they're still entering you guys in a cash drawing when you register. It's for like $100. And last but not least, if you're not into apps, but perhaps you do want to support the show, we do have a donation button, which is on our website at www.wcypodcast.com. It's about halfway down the page on the right-hand side. It's all secure through PayPal, and every dollar goes right back into the show. I take zero from it. The goal is to keep the show running with fresh content and keep it self-sustaining. The money gets used to pay for the hosting costs of audio files, bandwidth, and equipment failures, etc. So like if my mic breaks or something like that, I just go buy another one with that money. Only things that are used to bring you this content. So thanks to everyone who has already donated. I have to say thanks to Brother Steve Harrison of the Missouri Lodge of Research and editor of Missouri Freemason Magazine for his donation a couple weeks ago, which was totally unexpected, and it helped us out tremendously. So thanks again, Brother Steve Harrison. I know you're probably going to listen to this episode, so I hope you do listen, because I really want to thank you for that. Another thing that we do is we have affiliate memberships. One of the affiliates that I researched and I liked was Onnit Labs. It's one of the only affiliates that actually does something positive for people. They have some great fitness equipment, amazing supplements, which are all top quality, organic, non-GMO, no caffeine, and much of it is qualified as vegan, if you can believe that. But everything tastes amazing, I promise you that. And so do they. One of the products they have is called Alpha Brain. You can order it. If you don't like it, they will refund you your money. They don't even want the supplement back. They don't even care. They just give you your money back if you don't like it. But as far as Alpha Brain, that's something I stopped me from needing to use these other medication that a doctor prescribed, which I had to take on occasion for anxiety. Alpha Brain is what's called a nootropic, and it's basically vitamins for your brain. It's good stuff, and when you click through our site to get there, you support the show because a little bit comes back to the show. And if you use the coupon code WCY at checkout, you'll get 10% off your order, which covers the shipping most of the time, if not a little bit more. But it's a way to support the show and get a little something that you might have wanted anyway. I think you guys will really like it. It doesn't cost you guys any extra either. The normal prices are the same whether you go through me or not. So help us out and feed your body with some good stuff. Moving on to other topics, there was this trailer I watched recently. It's for a movie called Sirius, like the star. I talked about it last week a little bit. It's pretty crazy, but in any case, it was independently done. It's a documentary about aliens, free energy, and some other crazy stuff. And I don't want to give too much away, and you'll see it if you click the trailer on our website, but they have this little body, and some say it's an alien, and some people say that it's a mummified fetus, but it looks pretty wild. You can stream the movie right now or buy it on DVD. But the thing is, the guy that's in the documentary isn't some quack or some crazy guy. He's actually an ER doctor. So it's pretty credible stuff. Anyway, I'll be quiet about it and just say watch the trailer at our website, www.wcypodcast.com, and you'll see the link for that on the right-hand side as well. Speaking of movies, I have to say that Templar Nation, the film produced by Joseph James, should be available very soon. Also, Joseph James is producing right now his next project. I think they're filming. It's called The Freemason, which stars Sean Astin, pretty big name. I think it's going to be a huge movie, but we'll have to wait and see. I'll be on the horn soon with Brother Joseph James and try to get another interview about his new film. If you didn't catch it last time, it's a few episodes back. We did an interview with Joseph James about Templar Nation. A lot of people really enjoyed the interview, so check that out if you want. I also want to quickly mention our brother John Paul Gomez over at Fraternal Ties, making great Masonic neckties, amazing, amazing artwork, which is all original, not your normal little square and compasses all over the tie. Some real artwork. Check out fraternalties.com. And this isn't an ad. John isn't paying me for this or anything like that to mention this. This is me telling you guys about something that's really cool. On the level, awesome ties. Check them out. If you missed it, a few episodes ago, I interviewed Brother Charles Harper, author of the new book, Freemasonry in Black and White, which should be out soon as well. So keep your eyes peeled for that. And again, as soon as I get the links to it, I will put those on our website as well so you can click through and maybe pick it up on Amazon or Kindle or Barnes & Noble, wherever it's going to be available. And so we're going to close it out this week with this week's famous Freemason, Richard Arlen, who was born on September 1st, 1891. He passed away March 28th, 1976. He was an American actor in film and in television. He was born Sylvanus Richard Van Matamor in St. Paul, Minnesota. I think Richard Allen is a little easier to say than that, but he attended the University of Pennsylvania. He served as a pilot in the Royal Flying Corps during World War I. His first job after the war was with St. Paul's Athletic Club. And then he went to the oil fields out in Texas and Oklahoma, and he found work running tools around to the different people working on the oil rigs. He was thereafter a messenger and sporting editor of a newspaper before going to Los Angeles to star in movies. But right away, no producers wanted him. He was a delivery boy for a film laboratory when the motorcycle which he was riding landed him in a broken leg outside of the Paramount Pictures lot. A sympathetic film director gave him his start as an extra, and he appeared at first in silent films before making the transition to talking films. His first important film role was in Vengeance of the Deep, which was released in 1923. He took time out of his Hollywood career to teach as a United States Army Air Force flight instructor in World War II. Arlen is best known for his role as a pilot in the Academy Award-winning Wings, which was released in 1927, with co-stars Clara Bow, Charles Buddy Rogers, Gary Cooper, L. Brendel, and his first wife, Miss Ralston, whom he married in 1927. He was among the more famous residents of the celebrity enclave in Toluca Lake, California. In the 1950s and early 1960s, Arlen was active in television, having guest starred in several anthology series, including Playhouse 90, The Loretta Young Show, The 20th Century Fox Hour, and in three episodes of the series about clergymen, Crossroads. Arlen appeared in westerns such as Lawman, Branded, Bat Masterson, Wanted, Dead or Alive, Wagon Train, and Yancey Derringer, and in such drama adventure programs like Ripcord, Whirlybirds, Perry Mason, The New Breed, Coronado 9, and Michael Shane. For his contributions to the motion picture industry, they gave him a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and the address for that, if you wanted to check it out, is at 6753 Hollywood Boulevard. He passed away in 1976 from emphysema, and he was a member of Utopia Lodge number 537, Los Angeles, California. So that'll close it up for the week. I hope you all enjoyed listening. Please rate the show on iTunes, plus one, our posts on Google. Find us and share us on Facebook. We're on Twitter at Whence Came You. That's where you can follow. And just about every other social media site there is. Check out the Midnight Freemasons blog and have a listen to our podcast partners, Juan Sepulveda, on The Winding Stairs. You can follow him on Twitter at WindingStairs33. And you can check out Brother Rob Lewis, Far From Centered podcast, Far From Centered on Facebook, or you can follow Rob Lewis at Rob Lewis on Twitter. And also, one other thing is check out Brother Todd E. Creason's blog at toddecreason.org. Until next week, stay on the level. From Whence Came You? I'm Robert Johnson.